Neshama.
My Neshama did.
Alright. Stay. Who got to see the Makoros beforehand? By raising hand. Matt, see Makoros beforehand?
Not this time.
What are you doing today?
I was trying to teach myself how to do calculus.
Oh. Success. Got it. Okay, so let's make our way through the Makoros. On page one, so the Rush brings down the minog that we have to start saying slichos 4 days, to start saying slichos during Aseres Meitshuva. It's Machlokes, Sfardim will start from the beginning of Rosh Chodesh Elul, and Ashkenazim will, seems in principle, will start during Aseres Meitshuva. But as we all know, that's not really true. Right, we start slichos early. So Yoni, why do we start slichos early?
Prepare for Rosh Hashanah.
Prepare for Rosh Hashanah. Nice, fluffy concept. Right, clearly you had a very meaningful davening on Rosh Hashanah. Right, so you wanted to start early. That's your idea here.
I had no idea how to start.
Right, but there is a formula, right? It's only if Rosh Hashanah begins on Thursday, then you'll start saying slichos the week of. Start saying slichos that Sunday morning already, or Motzei Shabbos. If Rosh Hashanah starts earlier than that, what do you do? Let's say Rosh Hashanah starts on a Monday.
So you do the whole week before.
Yeah, you do the whole week before. So where does that minhag come from?
Good question. Sit one of these makoros.
Here's one of the makoros. Hey, Chana.
The Torah.
There are makoros on the table.
The Mordechai.
So Mordechai, but what's the rationale?
Because you miss 4 days during, you made tshuva where you're allowed to eat, so they're not really.
Hey, see, we're missing a link. There's a missing link here.
It's not really a din inoy on those 4 days, so therefore, and assuming that slichos is a type of inoy or antithetical to these 4 days of Rosh Hashanah, Shabbos, I guess. You
think slichos is antithetical? You're right. The Mordechai says, you can see the Mordechai. Look at the Mordechai in the middle of the page. L'fichach tiknu chacham l'hisanos dalad yom l'tnei Rosh Hashanah k'neged dalad yom m'shem Rosh Hashanah l'yamakipurim sh'ochlen behen v'elu hein shnei yomim sh'Rosh Hashanah v'shabit same time v'erev yamakipurim. What did the Mordechai just say?
He didn't give us a reason for anything.
He didn't give us a reason for anything?
I don't think so.
Well, he does.
He says you have to complete the 10 days.
Complete the 10 days of what?
Of Aseres Meitshuva.
But what was missing in those 10 days?
Days that were almost commanded or that we're eating.
We're eating. Yeah. So here's the missing link. The minog in Ashkenaz. Yeah. And you can see this in the Shulchan Aruch. The minog in Ashkenaz was to fast for all of Aseres Meitshuva. Right? So you would fast on Yom Kippur. You would fast for the 7 days of Aseres Meitshuva. Or the 10 days of Aseres Meitshuva. Except that there are 4 days when you couldn't fast. Can't fast on 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, it's Yom Tov. Can't fast on Erev Yom Kippur. Because we say kol ochel b'tshi malav v'kasav kilu esana b'tshi v'asiri and Shabbos Shuvah. Rosh Hashanah is a question, right? That's the. But he's assuming that you can't fast,
right, okay.
So you have to make up 4 days of fasting. So therefore, you have to have at least 4 days of fasting prior to Rosh Hashanah for tashlumin. Okay, so you can see there's a problem here. We still keep the minog of starting at least 4 days for slichos. Right, but the minhag is really based on the shita that you're supposed to fast for all of Aseres Meitshuva, which we don't have. But there's a second problem here that's built into this issue of tashlumin. Jeremy, what's the... Sorry, you just had a... took a mouthful. Rachel, what's the issue here?
I don't know. Where's the concept of fasting for Aseres Meitshuva?
Yeah, so where's the concept of fasting for Aseres Meitshuva?
Where's the concept?
But let's acknowledge that there is a virtue to fast during Aseres Meitshuva. So now you can't fast on Rosh Hashanah because it's a chag, can't fast on Erev Yom Kippurim, can't fast on Shabbos Shuvah because it's Shabbos.
Who says that there are 10 days that are in need of fast? Meaning, who says Aseres Meitshuvah as a unit together needs this eat?
Okay. Who says you can make it up?
Okay, who says you can make it up? Who says that the 10 days need fasting? But given that you know you're not supposed to be fasting on Rosh Hashanah, on Erev Yom Kippur, and Shabbos, right, so why do you have to make it up at all? Right, that's essentially what you're saying. And once you acknowledge that you're not allowed to fast on those days, in what sense do you mean that you have to make up for not fasting? Right, it seems that the assumption is that in principle you should be fasting. There's some technical reason that you can't be fasting because it's Chag or Shabbos. But in principle, all of Aseres Meitshuva need fasting. And that's what you have to make up. So where does this ideal of fasting during Aseres Meitshuva come from? And the derivative halacha that we say slichos for all 10 days of Aseres Meitshuva, plus the days of Tashlumin beforehand. This one aspect of that discussion is in question, which is what Matthew is pointing out. That is it really so obvious that you are not allowed to fast on Rosh Hashanah? Right? Maybe you should fast. So the Rosh on the bottom of page 1, in Perek Dalet of Rosh Hashanah, it's Dalet Yud Dalet, very long Rosh. There's a lot of foundational concepts in that halacha. So look in the first line after the period. U'lehis'anos b'shnei yom tovim shal Rosh Hashanah. Or Matt, why don't you read? You're Matthew. Okay, so halachically, what's his distinction?
First day of Rosh Hashanah and right. Second day of Rosh Hashanah.
Exactly. Fast on the second day of Rosh Hashanah, fast on Shabbos Shuvah. Mm-hmm. Right? It's a little problematic. How could he fast on Shabbos? Mm-hmm. So what's his defense? You just read it.
Mishum Darasara Yomi Inun Mishun and Nikol Yomos Hashanah. So they're different than all the other people.
Right, very, very cryptic, loaded statement, right? These 10 days are Mishunin. They're just different from the rest of the year. Doesn't characterize it, but different at least in the sense that it could justify fasting on Yom Tov Sheni and on Shabbos Shuvah. Okay? The Rosh pushes back on that.
Also, is not the first day of Rosh Hashanah counted the first day of Aser Yomei Tshuva?
It is, yeah. So for some reason, right, he's caught neither here nor there. He wants to say these 10 days are different, yet first day of Rosh Hashanah is not sufficiently different.
Okay.
For whatever reason. Very good point. So the Rosh pushes back on this sort of Natur Noigon. What does he say, Matt?
Right,
that's the Gon. With Dvarav Timuin. Yeah.
Dvarav Timuin. She'osar lisanos b'yom tov rishon shal Rosh Hashanah.
It's indefensible. How could you justify fasting on Shabbos while you're prohibiting fasting on the first day of Rosh Hashanah? Right, essentially, Matthew's point. Okay. So how do we explain this? Right, how do you explain the justification of fasting on Shabbos Shuvah? Right? It's one thing to say that there's a maila to fast on Aseres Yemei Shuvah during the weekdays. Right? There's no downside. But how do you justify the fasting on Shabbos Shuvah? Rachel, you want to say something?
We can talk about this with owning Shabbos last year.
Okay.
If owning Shabbos is subjective or whatever, then it makes sense you can fast, because what are you violating?
Okay, if owning Shabbos is subjective, then you have a basis to fast. Because this might be your own egg. But why would this be your own egg during a Aseres Yemei Tshuva?
Oh, it's not your own egg.
I mean, so you would say, if I want
to
fast...
What you're supposed to be, being this, like... If there's an inyan to fast during Aseret Mitzvah, then that's what you want to be doing. So it's Shabbos, it's your own egg, that's what you want to be doing for all Aseret Mitzvah.
Okay, so you would say whatever the basis for fasting during Aseret Mitzvah is, if you assume that Onik Shabbos is subjective, so then of course you could justify it on Shabbos Shuvah.
Yeah.
Because it could be subjective. Also, there's still a difference, because you might say, like, some Gedalia today, right? I'm fasting, because that's, you know, the minhag. I don't enjoy it. It's not my own egg. Right? I didn't have any tanug from today fasting.
Right. No, you don't enjoy it, but meaning it's what you're supposed to be doing. So on Shabbos, if you knew that you could be fasting,
but does it translate into a subjective oneg for you?
I mean, I guess so. You'd have to define oneg is not just like meaning either you get into a philosophical concept of like whatever how you know whatever like you know, mitzvot even though they're hard, it's really really what you want.
It's really it's kofenos hashem or rotzani.
Right, exactly.
But even rotzani, nobody says it's an oneg.
Right, but then you just you that have to become one. Oneg isn't actually like. Pleasure, like sitting out in the sun, like whatever, but it's oneg of like
in the deep recesses of his soul, he wants to be fasting. Perhaps. Any other suggestions? So notice how Rachel is appealing here to the subjectivity of oneg. Does anybody think that you could maintain this position while maintaining an objective definition of oneg Shabbos?
If you say oneg is derabanan, maybe there's more room to say.
Yeah, if you want to say oneg drabanan.
And this din of fasting during Aseret Yemei Tshuva is a really big deal. Mm-hmm. I don't know what you'd have to say halachically, but then it could be difficult. Right.
If you want to say it's such an important thing to fast, this could override the drabanan of oneg Shabbos.
Right, but then he wouldn't say shemeshunin. It would be different words. But...
Right, meshunin seems to speak to a qualitative difference. Mm-hmm. Chana, what do you think?
I don't know. It seems weird to me that you can fast in Shabbos Shuvah, so...
It's weird to you to fast on Shabbat Shuvah.
Yeah, unless like it's not really the only thing. I don't know. This is like cheating, but.
Let's say somebody stops you on campus and they say, Chana, we heard you're president of, you know, the largest Jewish organization in the world, right? Or at least...
Emeritus.
Well?
Emeritus.
Emeritus. Okay, you were president, and we heard that there were some people who fasted on Shabbat Shuvah. Right? What's the deal?
I would say it doesn't make any sense because you can't fast on Shabbos.
Okay, so you would throw them under the bus.
Yeah.
All right. So it seems like everybody here thinks there's a serious problem with fasting on Shabbos. Unless you say Drabban, unless you say subjective.
You say it's like a spillover of Yom Kippur, and in which case, like Yom Kippur, we definitely fast on Shabbos.
So, sure, but here it's Oneg. Oh, but there you have a V'nisim es nafsho seichem.
Right, but I'm saying maybe that applies to the entire.
Okay, that's an interesting idea. So Matthew wants to say maybe Yom Kippur spills over into Aseres Mitzvah, and whatever the justification for fasting on Shabbos Yom Kippur is, which we'll do this year, maybe that justification applies for Shabbos Shuvah.
Right.
Yom Kippur, I could tell you what the justification is. Like, we need some esnaf shaseichem. What would be the justification for the spillover of Yom Kippur?
He's saying the cloth of Yom Kippur
spills over. Before. Okay, we'll
That's
come back
exactly
to that.
There's probably some sort of din, not in Shabbos itself, but in Shabbos Shuvah specifically. Right? So it can't just be saying that, oh, this is like in your Shabbos, but we're going to do it because it's Aseres Mitzvah. I think there's some sort of special idea of what Shabbos Shuvah is supposed to be, and we can't override that.
Right, so one special din we know is Shabbat Shuvah Drasha. And the second special din is going to be fasting on... Do you know any other special din of Shabbat Shuvah other than...
Shabbat Shuvah Drasha? Besides that?
Right, so you're saying this is... We're beginning a class from nothing here.
Yeah, maybe.
Right?
Maybe.
Perhaps. Yeah. But then you would say if this Shabbos is different, then maybe you could have Oneg Shabbos defined objectively. And this Shabbos is different, such that Oneg Shabbos on this Shabbos is defined...
Yeah.
Differently. Okay, so we'd have to figure out how we can do that.
Yeah, basically the starting point has to be Shabbos Shuvah as its own activity.
Right. This Shabbos is Mishunahi.
Right.
Okay. All right, so let's take a look at some other aberrations of Aseres Mitzvah, and let's see if we could try to formulate a general approach. The Yerushalmi in Masechta Shabbos in the first parak, Yerushalmi also has a cryptic line, and you'll notice there's a recurring theme here that all these dinim come from ambiguous gemaras. And the Gemaras don't say something explicitly about the dinim of Aseres Mitzvah, but there are, you'll see how the Rishonim build off it. So what does Yerushalmi say? Yoni, you want to read? Meaning? Take a guess. Stab at it.
I got it in context. Rabbi Chia asked Rav,
or he commanded, he told Rav
to eat.
If you could, inat yochel, if you're able, mechel kol shasa chulin betara, echel, if you're able to eat chulin, what would be eating chulin betara? As opposed to betumah. Just like in the Beis HaMikdash, you're held to eating truma and kachin betara, can't be tame. So too, all year round, you should try to eat chulin betara. Right? And if you can't do it all year round, at least 7 days during the year you should eat chulin betara. So what does this mean?
From now.
What?
From now.
What do you mean from now? No, I mean from the year.
From the year.
Shata meaning shana. Okay. Does anybody eat chulin betara during Aseres Mitzvah? Pas Yisrael. So you see the rush in Rosh Hashanah. In that same Dalad Yadalad. So the Rush quotes the Ravya, second line, because of Ravi Ezri, Kibalti She'elu Shivas Yam Hein Shebein Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippurim. Shami just said 7 days. The Ravya says, I have a Mesorah that those 7 days are the 7 days in between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippurim. So notice where he's 7 days versus 10 days, just in the nomenclature is interesting. Al Kein Noagu Ba'ashkenaz Af Osan She'ein Nizhar Mi Pas Shel Nachrim. Even those people who aren't makbid to not eat non-Jewish bread, they're makbid during Aseres Yemei Tshuva. Very nice chumrah.
I mean, that's why, like here, Davka says the second, maybe a reason he says the second day of Rosh Hashanah, Shabbat Tshuva, and Yom Kippur, as opposed to both days.
Does it take out 3 days? That you have 7 days? Maybe. Maybe. So this is where the source, this is our chumrah to say to not eat pas palter, but it seems a little stronger here, right? Ravi is saying that you shouldn't eat pas nachri. Okay, so this is a very interesting chumrah. What do you think of this? Rachel, what do you think of? What do you think of this interpretation of the Ravi?
Well, I think that of the Rishami or of the Ravi. I don't know. I'm not sure. I think that if it was referring to Aser Ben Shuva, the Rishon would have said Aser Yomin.
Okay, so the Mefarshim on the Yishami, so they say, oh, because everyone's going to eat Chulin Betara during Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur itself. The Chiddush is even Aser Yomin Tshuva. It's like the Karban Eda suggests there. But
what's the Kesher?
What?
What's the Kesher between Pas Nachri and...
Okay, it's a nice Chumar, right? You're not Makud all year round. Have some extra Chumar on Aser Yomin Tshuva. So Taj Beitz quotes the Shmuel mi Bumbarg, and he's upset with this Chumrah of the Rabia. Taj Beitz is a Talmud of the Marami Rotenberg, so he's writing roughly around the same time that the Rush is writing, and he's bothered by this. Why?
He doesn't think Pas Yisrael is a Chumrah. It's either you think it's an Esser or you don't think it's an Esser.
Yeah,
it's
a matter of halacha. Yeah, if it's prohibited, then don't eat it all year round. If it's permitted, and eat it during Aseres Yemei Tshuva.
Because what you do is Chol Mitara.
What?
Chol Mitara and Tumar to avoid the issues.
Sure, but he's talking about the Pas, he's saying the Pas Nachri Chumra.
The comparison between Pat Nachri versus Chol Mitara, they're totally different things.
That's his point, right. Is that what you're saying?
To a certain extent, I'm saying he was strong. It's not a question that, like, that happens to be Pat Nachri is other or Mutter. It's also a question that Pat Nachri is, you know, they're not the same concern. Problem of Chul and Tara versus Tumah is a question of what level of Tara you have to keep yourself to. In other words, try keeping yourself to the level where you're always Tara, so it's being Tumah. You know, trying to restrict, distance yourself from Tumah. As opposed to Pat Nachri, that the issue is much more of problem of maybe strict kashers or problem of being really being close to the Goyim. You know, it's not the same issue, it's a very different thing.
You think Pas Yisrael is a din of not being too close to the Goyim?
Or it's problem. Either a problem of kosher or it's a problem of being close to the goyim.
Okay, and what's the issue of chulin b'tahara according to you?
Chulin b'tahara, it's trying to be tahara all the time. Like we're supposed to like to be on the Quran.
So you know what the Rambam says about the reason for chulin b'tahara? Rambam says it's a way of staying away from amaratzim. Because if you could, this way, somebody invites you over from Yon, you could say, I'm makbid on chulin b'tahara, I can't eat with you in your house. Mm-hmm. As it also seems to have the connotations of just the geder of staying away from people. But I think the Shmuel here is bothered by something stronger, right? If you're talking about a real halacha psuka of pas nachri, so then it's inconsistent to say that I'm going to be makel all year round and I'm going to be machmir during Aseres Yemei Tshuva. Okay, so it can't be a real halacha that we're changing or that we're more machmir on during Aseres Yemei Tshuva. It's a joke. Right? You have a chumar for 7 days and then you go back to normal and the next year you come back for 7 days. It's silly. Now, you might want to try to push that question for fasting also. If you think that fasting is such a virtue, then why dafka aseres yemei tshuva? Right, fast every day if you can. Or fast every bahab if you can.
Right?
That's not the same thing. It's not an iser to eat.
It's just a maila ba'alma.
Yeah. Okay. Perhaps. Yeah. What's your name?
Shira. Well, it seems a little bit consistent with what the Rush said earlier, that if there's something like inherently different about these days, like they're not the same.
Okay, so here we have to appeal to something about the difference of these days. Something has to be different such that it makes sense that you're going to be more machmir on a real din. And somehow that's going to take away the inconsistency with not keeping it the rest of the year. Mm-hmm. Right? That seems to be the direction that we have to go to justify the Shabbat Shuvah thing also. Good. You'll just notice the Meshech Chachma doesn't interpret the Yushalmi this way. The Meshech Chachma says it's referring to the 7 Yomim Tovim, right? It refers to 2 days of Pesach, the 2 Yom Tovs of Pesach, 2 days of Sukkot, 1 day of Shemini Atzeres, and Rosh Hashanah. All right, so you get seven real yamim tovim. The Gemara says chayav adam latahir atzmo beregel. So on the yamim tovim, you should stay away from eating chulin bitumah. Right, so he doesn't want to interpret the Yushalmi as referring to Aseres Yemei Teshuva. But he says, you know, the Ravi already says this, so if it's a Kabbalah, if he has a Mesorah that's the way to read it, I'll accept it. But if it's Misvara, then I disagree. Because it doesn't make sense that Aseres Yemei Teshuva should be different. So there we have another discrepancy. A discrepancy that seems to point to Tahara. Okay. The Rush, I didn't give it to you, but the Rush in Rosh Hashanah also quotes a minog to go to the mikvah before Rosh Hashanah. Okay? He also says that there's this value of being more bitahara before the Aseres Yemei Teshuva. I just have to figure out what that is.
Okay, we're assuming that Yisrael now is bitahara. It's like an offshoot of this other thing.
It comes from that Yushalmi. You might say it's just a chumrah of this din. Then you have to deal with Tashbase's question. Or, so even if you want to take the Yushalmi in its simplest way, the Yushalmi says Chulin B'Tara, so fine. Say like Yoni wants to say that you're being Machmir for Chulin HaTara Sakodesh for 7 days. You still have to justify why Aseres Yemei Teshuva. Right? The Tashbetz wants to say like Yoni. He wants to say you're Machmir for Chulin B'Tara. We have to explain why these 7 days would call for that and not the rest of the year. Okay. Let's look at another din. The Gemara in Shabbos and Daf Mem Testament Aleph tells us that tefillin tzrichin gufnaki, it's bottom of page 2, kelisha bal kanafayim. In order to wear tefillin, you have to have a gufnaki, like Elisha with the story of the possessor of wings. Mahi abaya amar shalo yafiach behem. Shouldn't pass gas while you're wearing tefillin. Rava amar shalo yishen behem. Shouldn't fall asleep when you're wearing tefillin. The Gemara goes on to tell a story, and the Gemara says, a very, very nice Gemara, that one time there was a gzeira that you shouldn't put on tefillin, and anybody who wore tefillin, they would kill him. So Elisha Bal Kanafayim is wearing tefillin, officer sees him and starts chasing him, he catches up to him, Elisha quickly takes off the tefillin, holds them in his hands, and the officer says, you know, I saw you wearing tefillin, what's in your hands? He opens them up, and two birds fly out. And he says, Kanfei Yonah, just I have golden doves in my hands, and then he opens his hands and they fly away. So the issue with the Gemara here is that the Gemara says that tefillin need a gufnaki like Elisha Bal Kanafayim. And the Gemara says, shlo yafiach behem and shlo yishin behem. So what's the Gemara trying to tell you about that you need a gufnaki like Elisha Bal Kanafayim? I thought the Gemara just told us that it means that you shouldn't fall asleep in your tefillin, that you shouldn't pass gas while you're wearing them. What's it telling us with Elisha Bal Kanafayim? So how do you understand this Gemara? Or how do you think this Gemara could be understood? Jeremy?
It seems almost that Elisha Ben Bal Kanafayim was just someone who kept a gufnaki all the time. And then
maybe he was like Makbid not to fall asleep in his tefillin.
Right. And then that's why he kept his tefillin on so much and got in trouble.
Could be. Does anybody want to suggest something different for that Gemara?
Just similarly, it has to be that he
was
had a gufnaki,
because
otherwise at least someone would have
been. Oh, it must be that he was Mekayim Mitzvah Tefillin Kitikuna. Okay, perhaps. You don't want to say it's telling us that there's another principle of gufnaki.
Now that you said that, sure.
That's not what I said. Okay. So some Mishonim want to say that. You see from this Gemara that gufnaki means more than just Shelo Yishen Behem V'Shelo Yafiach Behem. It requires like a certain level of spiritual commitment. Like the fact that he was willing to be Moser Nefesh for his tefillin. That's that he was Moser Asmo Alein. That's why this nes happened. There's another Gemara where the Gemara says that Poshe Yisrael Begufan Inlam Chelek Olam Haba. People who are sinners in their guf don't have a Chelek Olam Haba. So the Gemara says, My Poshe Yisrael Begufan. Who are Poshe Yisrael Begufan? Matt, who are Poshe Yisrael Begufan? Kana, you know? Yoni? Jen? Jeremy? Matthew? Rachel?
I can guess. Yeah. People that don't wear their tefillin.
There you go. Shira, is that what you're going to say? No?
Sure.
Poche Yisrael Begufan are people, Elokar Kafta de lo Manach tefillin. Somebody who never wore tefillin. So Yishonim are very bothered, and they say, well, can't mean somebody who didn't wear a tefillin, because there were a lot of people who thought that they just weren't on the level that it was okay for them to wear tefillin. They thought they didn't possess a guf naki to wear tefillin. So if that's the reason why you're not wearing tefillin, that's okay. Yesh lo chelek olam haba. Okay. I mean, it's only if you're doing it intentionally to sin and not be mekayem the mitzvah of tefillin. So you see, they're already, there's an assumption out there that guf naki seems to have a high threshold. So the Meiri commenting on that Gemara, the Meiri says, there are many people who believe that guf naki means that you have to be on a level of spiritual purity where you're naki me'averos. You're pure from sins. And look here on the top of page 3. There are some people who are makbid to only wear tefillin on very specific days during the year. And there were some people who wouldn't wear tefillin until they suffered a lot and they were healed. Because they thought that their suffering just erased their sins. Okay. Look at the next line. Vir'ei echefligu b'kavana. Shira, you want to read? Third line in the Meiri. Vir'ei echefligu b'kavana.
K'omar shehen tzrichim guf naki me'avirot v'mehar huvim v'ein re'oi lehen kum v'alachar ha'tshuva.
You could only wear tefillin after tshuva. Can I read the next line? This is the best part.
Shebin Rosh Hashanah v'yom kippur achar ha'tshuva v'ha'tzila v'ha'tzimim.
Okay, so here the Meiri says there are many people who had the custom, or Ktsas Chachamim who had the practice, to only wear tefillin during Aseres Yemei Tshuva, after Tshuva, Tvila, and Vidui. Chein Adavar Nacham Be'inai. That's what I think is appropriate. So here we have something fascinating. You only get to wear tefillin during Aseres Yemei Tshuva? Now you could read this Meiri in one of two ways. You could say that he just means that after any Tshuva is sufficient. Sounds like he's appealing to something stronger, like something about the character of our Aseres Yemei Tshuva. Achra tvila, havidui v'hatshuva. I don't think he just means in general any sort of tshuva. He means something unique to Aseres Yemei Tshuva, which is the right time to be wearing tefillin. What? Could be a mitzias that people are only achieve that kind of tshuva during Aseres Yemei Tshuva. It could be. First time I read this, I thought that he meant Dafka Aseres Yemei Tshuva because that's the only time you could do it. And the second time I thought maybe, you know, that's the only time that people happen to do tshuva properly. Could be. I'm on the fence. I'm not sure. I think if you look back in the Meiri inside, I think he has a paragraph before this where he has a something to this extent, like takes a bit of a stand. But I'm not 100% sure.
Why is it during a certain mitzvah, not after a certain mitzvah? I mean, that's...
Yeah.
Oh, so if you want to say like Yoni, then just say after a certain mitzvah, after Yom Kippur, right?
Right.
That first day after Yom Kippur where it's filling.
Even if you say like whatever, Yom Kippur, like the Mishnah Yom Kippur itself is Mechap, or whatever it is. Like,
right.
If the point is that you want to already wear it's filling with a clean slate, you know, your clean slate is really not clean until after Yom Kippur.
True. So this seems to say it's something about a certain mitzvah. Like being caught in the context of Aseres Yemei Tshuva, which allows not necessarily having...
But he said Achar HaTshuva, like,
maybe it means after the process of Tshuva, not necessarily after Kapara.
But you're not even after the process of Tshuva, you're in the midst of it. That's the...
But after you've begun doing Tshuva.
Okay.
And you've been Tefillah and Vidui, but not the Kapara didn't happen yet, so... Sure. Maybe it's not necessarily about being free of sin, but it's about being in the phases of...
So he says, say, instruction goof, nucky, me aviru. I don't know. Yeah, I guess you have to interpret it that way, though.
Right. I'm not sure also if the Ktsas Chachamim is modifying, you know, that first thing of me aviru, me aviru, or it's like a separate shita. I assume it's a separate shita. Because that first one is saying that, after any time you do tshuva, that's sufficient. Whereas here he's saying after tvila and vidua and tshuva. Very interesting. The Rush quotes this Yushalmi also. And remember, the Yushalmi just said, yomim yiduin bashana. I didn't say when it was. So the Rosh has a totally different explanation. He says, because I think Rabbi Yochanan was hard for him to wear tefillin because he would get a cold very easily. So he would only wear tefillin like after Pesach, like when it started getting warm. And then even so, he would have a headache for the next month, you know, just from taking off his hat to put on tefillin. This is all built up as a question against the Rambam, because the Rambam says that you could wear a hat on your head while you're wearing tefillin, and the Rush says you can't, because otherwise Rabbi Yochanan would have just covered his head while he's wearing tefillin, and he shouldn't have had to have gotten that cold. Okay. But the Miri thinks that tefillin is limited to Aseres Me'etshuva. I think this is another element of Tahara. Right? You're more spiritually pure. Your guf is considered more naki during Aseres Me'etshuva. Not so different from the other Yushalmi, you would say, that Chulin B'Tahara should be during Aseres Me'etshuva. Or like the Rush, who was saying that you should go to the mikvah before Rosh Hashanah, because during this time of year, you want to be B'Tahara. Let's take a look at another area of halacha that's affected during Aseres Me'etshuva. Not fasting and not Tahara, but just the Nusach HaTefillah that we use. Right? We change things around in the text of Tefillah during these days. So here we have a Gemara in Brachos, Yud Beis and Beis. Chan, you want to read?
Sure.
So this is the change from Kel HaKadosh to HaMelech HaKadosh. We're all familiar. Tosos in Brachos points out, second to last source, or last source on the page, that if you don't say HaMelech HaKadosh, you're not Yotzei your Tefillah. Why? Why, Jeremy?
Because he says anytime you are
exactly
over on the
Matbeah, that's... Yeah, right? You haven't davened the correct text for this time of year. Right? So if you say Akel HaKadosh during Aseres Me'etshuva, you've got the wrong davening. You just took out the wrong sitter and you said the wrong thing.
He says it for any of the Shinuyim, for Zachorin Elchaim, for any of them.
Ah, same thing is true for Zachorin Elchaim and Ksov Elchaim Tovim. So what do you make of that? I say, fine, it's a nice addition. We want to throw something else into davening, like to remind Hashem that he should be Mochalas. But here we're saying that if you haven't said these things in the Shemoneh Esrei, it's like you just got the wrong tefillah. And now here you don't have an issue of, a double standard. We're not being more machmir during Aseres Me'etshuva. Here we're clearly appealing to a different kind of a time. HaMelech HaKadosh versus Tekel HaKadosh, right? Rashi says, Lafisha b'yam halalu hu mare malchuso lishpare sa'olam. This is a time of Malchus. I said, it's not a question of Chumra or Kula, it's just a question of, have you gotten the appropriate tefillah? So the Nusach HaTefillah is different. Yeah, Yoni.
Could argue, yeah, I don't think it's a Tosin referring to it. You could argue in general that the reason that Melech HaKadosh is something fundamental to Tefillah itself, in other words, davening, saying Hakel HaKadosh versus Melech HaKadosh is a fundamental change within the Tefillah itself, the davening itself, the Shemoneh Esrei, reflects some type of change on that particular day during this time period because it's the Melech HaKadosh and not Hakel HaKadosh. I don't think it's what Tosin is saying. I think Tosin is saying that there's a standard of what davening is, and if you change any bit from what Chum is saying,
so
then that happens, then you're not
Yotzei
your whole month. That's why
I've
been changing from...
So you're thinking, according to this Tosos, if I'm Nusach Ashkenaz and I daven Nusach Sfar, I'm not Yotzei. Because I was Mishaneh from whatever the Matbeah is.
Well, yeah, I mean, obviously, you could argue that
Sfar
Mouse is Matbeah, but...
Okay.
Example,
but, I mean, the point here, since we'd have to be an egregious deviation, right? If I, change
any
around...
Any deviation sounds really
problematic.
Any deviation
means Nusach Sfar to Nusach also.
Yeah.
Well, if you want to say Matbeah Shetivu Chachamim, Chachamim are also Matbeah Hamel Hakel HaKadosh, weren't they?
Yeah, but not during this time period. There's nothing fundamental about this at this far anyway. It's just like there's a specific day that you're obligated to certain things. Every day you have a new question, what exactly you're obligated to say. And if you change, you deviate that little bit from what it was, then you thought.
You could read it that way.
I read it like that too, because he says Hamelech Hamishpat also. Changing from Melech Ha'Eztak HaMishpat to HaMelech HaMishpat is such a minor change, because we're already using the word Melech. So if it was a time period, then you're already saying Melech Ha'Eztak HaMishpat. You already have that in there. It seems to be a din in Shinoi Lashon.
But isn't Melech Ha'Eztak HaMishpat, you're just talking about like the properties of Hashem. He likes good things. He likes justice. He loves justice.
Right. It is.
As opposed to saying he is the king who does justice.
Right. Gotcha.
Right, so it might be false to say of a Kodesh Baruch Hu during Aseres Me'etshuva that he loves justice when he's actually implementing it.
Right.
So you could read that in a stronger way also.
This is the same topic on Yalav Yavo, but isn't there a Machlokes? Doesn't Tosafot look at Machlokes if you forget Yalav Yavo? Like Mincha, I think it's Mincha. If you forget Yalav Yavo Mincha, and then you say again Yalav Yavo, and then forget that, you forget yellow, yellow for minhag, you have to go back. But you'll remember if you forgot it, it's gemar. Especially if it's assuming or not.
Because different day.
Right. And there, off the end of the day, there is one sheet that says you have to repeat, and the other sheet says you don't have to repeat. And there, the whole debate there is more or less relies on how that you understand the insertion of yellow viago. If the insertion of yellow viago is just something that has to be said, and if you don't say it, then you have to just repeat.
So do you want to say this Tosos is contingent on taking a stance on that Tosos? So I want to say it's independent. Right, Tosos will have a suffix about yalav yavo.
The insertions by Maserik Mechiva might be related, or not related, maybe different from yalav yavo.
Right, but you're telling me Tosos has 2 days over there.
Yeah.
Right. Tosos has 1 day over here.
Yeah.
Why? Because he made up his mind in between, or because he thinks the difference in tefillah for Maserik Mechiva.
Yalav yavo is more inherent than there's a potential that yalav
less inherent. Less inherent.
What?
Less inherent.
Well, no, because here
he's saying you're not yotze. For sure not Yotze. And there he is the tzad to say you are Yotze.
Oh,
he means you're not Yotze. Here.
Well, yeah, we also have Machzir.
As opposed to saying...
Everybody agrees Yalav Yavo Machzir. No, that wasn't the main Tosos.
Tosher says, he says, Eino Yotze de Chavaso.
Yeah.
The Kolam Hashem Yotze de Chavaso. Eino Yotze de Chavaso. You're not Yotze. The wrong tefillah. Right.
Is it necessary to tell the Nema focus? Because there it's really an insertion. Here it's like a whole different...
Okay, changing the actual Mike Be'abrach. I think this is much stronger. Look, to give you a sense, you can see that there's also good reason to not insert these things into davening, right? Yalav Yavo is innocuous, but the Gemara points out, it's Gemara in Brachos, on Daf Lamed Aleph, top of page 4, you should never ask bakasha within shevach or hodah, within the first three or last three. And here you're saying zochein alchaim alchavetz bakaim kasvenu b'sefer achaim. It's kind of bakasha. Rishonim are very bothered by this question. Right? How is it that you're allowed to ask bakasha during the first three brachos? The Tur is so bothered by this that he says Armanag is wrong. Instead of saying zochein alchaim during all of Aseres Yemei Tshuva, you could only say it during Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Why? Look in the middle of page 4. Just look at the second to last paragraph in the Tur. The last words. Uvekoshi hitiru. Okay, I'll read it to you. Ve'ein omrim zachreinu l'chai zachreinu begimel rishonos v'uchsov begimel achronos ela b'shnei yom tovim shorash Hashanah v'yom ha-kippurim bilvad. And even then, bekoshi hitiru. I mean, yeah, it's really a problem to say these things in Shmoneh Esrei, right? They made an exception for Hashanah and Yom Kippur, but there's no way you could generalize to all of Aseres Yemei Tshuva. There's no justification. Can't do Bakasha in the beginning or end of Shmoneh Esrei. Then he spins around and he says, wait a second. But everyone is no egg to say Zorcheinu L'chaim and Uksov at points where you're not supposed to. So he says, well, if the Tefillah is really different for Aseres Yemei Tshuva and all these things are okay, then why don't we say all of uvechein tein pachticha during Aseres Yemei Tshuva? Right, take that whole first section of Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur davening, uvechein v'simloch uvechein tzadikim, say it all of Aseres Yemei Tshuva. V'chvar nagu la'omru kol yud yemei tshuva. Yeah. V'adrava tamati me'olam lama eim omrim uvechein tein pachticha kol Aseres Yemei Tshuva. D'mayishna zeh hatosef esher v'rchas kedushas Hashem. That's all in the bracha of Akelach Melech HaKadosh, right? We expand Melech HaKadosh in Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. So why not do it during Aseres Yemei Tshuva? So this, first of all, brings us to Matthew's point earlier, right? Talking about the spillover from Yom Kippur into Aseres Yemei Tshuva, here he's saying the text of Tefillah during Aseres Yemei Tshuva should really be borrowed from Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Right? So what do you make of that? And here, let's just point out that the term Aseres Yemei Tshuva, right? Elo Aseres Yamim, Aseres Yemei Tshuva Shebein Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippurim. That's the language of the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah. Right, so the Bein is inclusive. Right? These are the 10 days of Tshuva, not in between, but including Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. So Matthew would say, great. Right? They're of a single character. Mm-hmm. Right? You have Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Aseres Yemei Tshuva. Happens to be that Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur have a din of a moed. But the fundamental characterization as a day of Slicha Mechila and a day of Tshuva, that really carries over to all of our Aseres Yemei Tshuva. I think that's how you would want to look at it. You knew this tour?
I had a suspicion.
You had an intuition about the tour. The Shulchan Aruch has another interesting psak, which also speaks to this this idea. Bottom of page 4, Simon Taf Resh Beis, and also on the top of page 5, the Shulchan Aruch says, third line, the Omrim b'chol yom shlosh pa'amim vidui kodem alos ha-shachar. They should really say vidui 3 times during Aseres Yemei Tshuva, every single day. It means every day you wake up in the morning, and before you start your davening, you should say vidui 3 times. This is extension of Yom Kippur. It's, the day is a day of vidui. Let's look at one other area where the halacha has changed for Aseres Yemei Tshuva. So we just spoke about the Nusach HaTfilah, but we also have a difference in terms of the Shliach Tzibur, who's supposed to be leading the davening. The Kolbo is the same offer as the Orchos Chaim. He's writing in Provence in the 13th century. He has like very interesting shitas that he brings down in general, and he makes his way into the Rama very often. So Darkei Moshe here on the tour actually quotes this Kolbo, and he says, Yesh Mikomos, the bottom of page 5. The third paragraph in the Darkei Moshe. Darkei Moshe is the Rama's commentary on the tour. Yesh mekomo shenogin misha mispalel shachris bashmoras haboker slichos mispalel emesh arvis v'shachris tfilas yotzer. I mean, the person who's going to lead the slichos in the morning, he should also be the baal tfila for arvis and shachris. Very interesting minog. V'noagu lachzor achar shliach tzibor roi v'hagen v'chulei. And you should really try to find the shliach tzibur who's roi v'hagun v'chulei. Ayin sham ad ki atfila neged avoda tiknua, because the tefila parallels the avoda. V'tzarech ledaktek b'mispar shanav shiyu mispar shnei ha'ovdim avoda. He has to be the age of somebody who's able to work the avoda in the Beis HaMikdash. The Kohanim were able to work. Shumi ben esam v'chamei shano l'mala. He should be at least 25 years old, because Kohanim can only work from the age of 25. Amitzam min amuvchar, shei l'mala min shloshim shana sha'az libo nishpa v'nidcha. Okay, in Chumrah you should be 30, because by the time you're 30, your heart's already broken. V'nagu she'ein mespalel mi she'yesh lo isha, dumyo d'choin gadol. She'hoi machinu lo isha acheres, v'shetiyah lo l'isha l'shamro menachay. And you also have a Chumrah, you should be married. Why? Dumyo d'choin gadol. Because the Kohen Gadol can only do the b'chiper bado v'ad beso, beso zu ishto. He has to be married to perform the avoda. This is the link to the Ishus theme from before. So what's the chumrah that he should be like the Kohen Gadol? And notice here he's talking about Aseres Yemei Tshuva also. He's talking about saying the Slichos Bashmoras Haboker. He's not just talking about Yom Narayim. Yeah.
It's just saying you're replicating the avoda, which is very weird, because intuitively one would think that you're only replicating the avoda in Yom Kippur davening, and that Rosh Hashanah davening is very different. And especially when applied to Aseres Yemei Tshuva. So it's very interesting.
Yeah, so what does he mean that we're replicating the avoda during Aseres Yemei Tshuva?
I was just going to point out, he also does the same thing when he says you have to be at least 25 or 30. He says to be like the Kohanim who serve in the Beit
HaMikdash. Yeah, right to work.
But then right away he goes and says, and the reason for that is so that you can be, what's it called? So you can be serious. And he says the same thing also when the reason you
L'shamar Menachay.
Right, yeah, L'shamar Menachay.
So you want to say he's invoking the basis behind why the Kohen Gadol has to be married. And
but even though that's not true, because it seems like Zerat HaKasu, like
Beso Zuishto, right? I don't think most people learn Beso Zuishto as a din in L'shamar Menachay.
Right.
It seems like about your objective stature. And
I couldn't figure out if there were two separate reasons that he has be like that Boda and to be L'shamar Menachay, or if they're the same.
Yeah, I read it as two separate reasons.
Okay.
Like you see by the age, he says 25. I'm 30, so it's libo nishpa v'nidcha. He wants to give you an independent justification also. And same thing by Isha Acheres and Vishtielo Isha L'shamar Menachay.
Even though the Kohanim, also in the Torah, I mean, there's a 25 and a 38. Those two ages are also used for Levium.
For Levium.
Yeah.
It's just interesting that he didn't mention the din. He didn't mention the din of Kohen Gadol as the din of it, whatever having Isha, but specifically the din that we arrange a backup one for him, which is what we do, I think. Which says we do it the 7 days before Yom Kippur, right? The 7 days before Yom Kippur, he's separated.
Separated.
And that's what he says, I had a new way for him. So, It's not just Tumin Da'avod, it was also Tumin the preparation of that.
So they're calling God on Yom Kippur even?
No, I'm saying I'm saying the separation of a separate way for him was what was done 7 days before Yom Kippur.
Right.
So Aser Yimichu was also 7 days before Yom Kippur.
Right, so not only are we saying the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, we're saying even the dinim of Hafrash's Kohen Gadol Shivas Yom Mikodim applies somewhat to Aser Yimichu.
But yeah, I was just saying it's not just Tumin Da'avod itself, it's also Tumin to the preparation for that.
For the Da'avod and Kohen Gadol. Yeah, good point. And if you know, you don't have this nachkamina during Aser Yimichuva, but there's another din that's brought here, B'Shem the Maril, in the paragraph preceding this one. Let's say in general you have an Avel who wants to daven for the Amud on Shabbos or Yantif. What's the din?
Can't,
right? Because it's kind of an Avelus Befar Hesia, and you don't want to be Mar Avelus Befar Hesia on Shabbos or Yantif. Because it's an Avelus Minog to daven for the Amud. But Maril says, you know, there's this minog to have a parnes chashuv to daven on the Yom Nirayim. Let's say that most chashuv person in your community happens to be an Avel on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur.
Yeah,
this is here. Oh, you have a Sisirian? He's an Avelus now?
Yeah.
So he's davening?
He davened only Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. He's not doing Tal or Geshen like he normally does.
But he's doing Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur.
Yes.
Right, so this is the Maril. Right? So he says, the Maril Paskin, Mori Malin Atzmo Hispal Yom Nirayim Bimei Avelo. And so their balabais, how could even Avel daven on Yom Tovim? The Afshar Shani Hasam to have a Adif Minayhu. Right, there's no one better than him. Well,
so that, yeah, exactly. And then they ask Rosh Shafter, and Rosh Shafter's like, yeah, well, you're the best follower, so they didn't agree on stuff.
Wait, what happened?
So they asked Rosh Shafter, and Rosh Shafter said, you're probably the best follower, so they didn't agree
on stuff. Oh, so you should daven. Okay, because that's based off this Maril. Right, the principle of having an Adam Chashuv is so important that we're going to override the normal din of not letting an Avel daven on the Yemen Aray. So how do we make sense of all these different halachos in Aser Yimei Tshuva? And they're coming from different areas of halacha. We're changing the Nusach HaTfila. Maybe we're incorporating parts of the Yom Kippur Tfila into Aser Yimei Tshuva. We have this element of Tahara, right, and Tfilin. Maybe it makes your guf more naki and more spiritual. Be machmir for chulin al taras hakodesh, which usually only applies in the Beis Hamikdash kind of tara. We have a chumrah, right, which gets some rishonim upset because it's a double standard. They be machmir for pasakum, dafka during aseres yimei tshuva. We have this fasting notion. Right? You could have tainis, that's could override Shabbos shuva during aseres yimei tshuva. And the shliach tzibur is different. Dumi dekoyin gadol. So what do we say about this? So the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva, Perek Beis, Halacha Vav, top of page 6. So Rambam is a very nice psak, building off the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah Daf Yiches. Afal pisha tshuva v'atzaka yafa le'olam, even though tshuva and crying out is always good. Baseres hayam shebein Rosh Hashanah v'yom ha'kipurim, hi yafa b'yoser. Tshuva is better during Aseres Yimei Tshuva. Baseres hayam shebein Rosh Hashanah v'yom ha'kipurim, hi yafa b'yoser. Miskabelas himiyad, and it's more immediately received. Shenemar dirshu Hashem bihimatza. Seek out Hashem when He is close. That is the Haftorah for Tanis. And everybody who went to Gush is haunted by Rav Lichtenstein's reading of dirshu Hashem bihimatza. Yeah, the.
I don't think he did it.
Are you
maybe
doing
maybe
it
once?
No.
He definitely didn't see it. He
had about 5 years. Ah, okay. When you were there?
Huh?
When you were there?
That was our last year.
Hasn't done a maftir?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay. They have recordings, though. I'll try to get you a recording of the Dear Shir Hashem.
Next time is.
What? Next time is. So, what do you make of this? Dear Shir Hashem bihimatzo. That's the source that tshuva, even though it's accepted in general, this comes from the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah. Gemara says, "Vaksiv dirshu Hashem bihimatzo." The Gemara says, "Amar Rav Shmuel bar Ina mishmei derav minayin legzardin shel tzibur sheino nechtam." How do you know that the tzibur can ever have a bad decree? Eino nechtam vaksiv nichtam avoneich lefanai. Hala af agav she nechtam nikra. The gzeira against the tzibur could always be overturned. Shenemar ko kashem alokenu b'chol kareinu elav. Right, mi kashem alokenu. Who's like Hashem? B'chol kareinu elav. Whenever you call out to Him, He answers our tefillas. This is what the Rambam quotes in his Hakdama to Minyan Mitzvos. Ram says that there's no Baal Tosif in implementing, in establishing Purim, because Purim and Chanukah show you Mika Hashem Elokeinu b'chol kareinu elav. Right, that the Tefillas HaTzibur is always answered. V'aksiv, Dirshu Hashem b'himatzo. On the one hand, you want to say Mika Hashem Elokeinu always answers. On the other hand, you want to say Dirshu Hashem b'himatzo, seek him out when he's close. Implication is that there are times when he's close and times when he isn't. Hasan b'yachid hacha b'tzibur. So Dirshu Hashem b'himatzo only applies to the yachid. The individual, then Aser Seyamim, Shebein Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippurim, that is Behimatzo. Beachid Emas, Amar Rabba Barabua, Elo Aser Yamim Shebein Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippurim. That is the marker for Aser Simei Tshuva. The source is Dirshu Hashem Behimatzo. What's fascinating here is that if you look at all the Mefarshim on that Pasuk in Yeshaya, Perek Nun Hei, Pasuk Vav, none of them want to take the Gemara's interpretation of Dirshu Hashem Behimatzo. Right? Simply put, what does the Gemara mean? Achal, what does the Gemara mean? Like the Rambam Paskin did. Right? Dirshu Hashem Behimatzo. Karu Bioso Karo. There's some element of proximity or closeness that only exists during Aseres Yimei Tshuva. It's not there during the rest of the year. That seems to be the implication of the Gemara, right? Rambam says, Yafe biyoser miskabelas miyach. Nemar dirshu Hashem bihimatzo. Look at all the mefarshim. Rashi there says bihimatzo kodem gzardin beotshu omer lachem dirshuni. Bihimatzo doesn't refer to different times of the year. It means before Hashem paskins against you, before he paskins the gzardin, do tshuva. Ibn Ezra v'tam bihimatzo ledarshim ki yadua shashem nimtza b'chol makom v'choles. Everybody knows Hashem is everywhere and always. So what does Bihimatzo mean? Hini atam kodem chatom agzeros. Like Rashi, right? Before he signs the decree against you, or seals the decree against you. Chen tam biyoso kov, remez l'shchina shehi b'mikdash. It's referring to the shchina that's in the mikdash. It's against the Gemara. Gemara says, Eva aser siyam shebein rosh shani yama kippurim. The Radak, biyoso karov, second paragraph, b'inyan sheyiye karov. Right? Seek him out. Oh, sorry, Dirshu Hashem, first paragraph. Amar levnei agalos Dirshu Hashem b'himatzo, anachem b'pirusha ma'ashapir shadoni avi, Dirshuhu b'inyan she'imatzei lachem. Seek him out in a way that he will be found to you. B'yoso karov, b'inyan she'yiyeh karov. In a way that he will become close. V'zuhi drisha b'chol lev. Seek him out with all your heart. So nobody wants to give the interpretation of the Gemara. Yeah. Yeah, but look at the Ibn Ezra, ki yadua sha'ashem nimtza b'chol makom v'choles.
Right, so hinei hatam kodem chatum hagzerot, so maybe chatum hagzerot, that only time is Yom Kippur.
Then what else would be chatum hagzerot?
Maybe there are times when you do something that's bad and there's a point of no return.
I just assume I read chatum hagzerot.
Yeah, okay, let's acknowledge. Kodem chatum hagzerot is Yom Kippur. Why only aseres mei tshuva? Well,
so those are the days
all of Elul also leads up to Yom Kippur. Right? So presumably it applies to 364 days of the year, the solar year.
Then he wouldn't have the Yimatzo anymore.
What?
Then he wouldn't have the
Yimatzo
anymore.
I mean, he's not Matzo after Yom Kippur on times when...
No, that's the 364 day before Yom Kippur, and then he's... there has to be some...
Yeah, but why is there a Sayyom Shabbat Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippurim? It was any time, quote unquote. I mean, the Rambam's point based off the Gemara is that it's only these 10 days that you have this receptiveness to tshuva. Not before, not after. They're all saying, it just means kodem gzar adin, which should apply to me during Chodesh El also.
Rambam also said that tshuva and tzakari afel olam rish especially.
Right, but the pasuk of Dirshu Hashem b'himatzo refers to something unique about aseres mei tshuva, like the Gemara said. No? Who's with Chana? Anybody else, Chana?
I also think that they're Parshanim, so you can't, like...
Who thinks that at the Mefarshim here are building off the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah?
Should have said something.
What?
Should have said something.
They should have said something, right?
Like, they do say Gemara Dinda, which is like, that all sound like something like it, but you should have still said it more explicitly.
I have a Gemara, yeah.
It's not the first... Rashi is definitely not shy pointing to Gemara.
Yeah, and if you look at the continuation of the Radak, He says, Rotsa Lomar Shiyasu Chuva Kodem Misa. Ki Azhu Nimsa Vakaro Velo Achar Misa. Ki Achar Misa Ain Chuva Lenefesh. Right, maybe that Chasimas Adin is the termination of life. Right, Ram quotes the psukim in Koheles, do tshuva, you know, while the clouds, before the clouds return, me'acharei ha'geshem. It means you have to be shav, sha'achas kodem l'misa. That's when it's too late. What?
The person who we're all explaining the phrase Yeshua Hashem Mihimatzo, the Gemara is answering the specific question of what is the time of Mihimatzo. So it's not necessarily a contradiction. I would say they're going against the Gemara.
Oh, I mean the Rambam. Let's take the Rambam's usage of the Gemara. Miskabelas him, right? Why is
Shemar Yeshua Hashem Mihimatzo? But presumably he's referring to the Rambam, to the Gemara, and the Gemara used that in.
And the Rambam sounds that tshuva is not as effective outside of Aseres Yemei Tshuva. Right?
As effective.
Right, and they're all saying that seek out Hashem in a way as if He's close, or seek out Hashem, you know, bechol leiv.
Well, take the Radak, right, of before Mita, right? So, I took it when he said before Mita, I thought he was just saying like any time that you're living, meaning just take advantage of the time that you live to do tshuva, because when you die, you can't do tshuva. But that's a nice little like I don't know muster like he's doing that in pasuk, and even so, A, I think he's a parshan, so written differently, but B,
so
I don't think
like
no, but B,
like,
that's
not writing for yeshiva bachrim and trying to figure out the nature of our seres
nature. That too, but also even
writing for people on like a
muster
idea. And,
but even if you say that he is writing for yeshiva bachrim, so fine. So say he's commenting on what are the words yeshua shem he must oh. Mean and the Gemara asks the question of when biyachin ema.
I'm telling you what behimatzo means.
What?
I'm telling you that himatzo means what the Gemara would say. Himatzo means aseres yemei tshuva.
And he's telling what dirshu Hashem behimatzo means. What is the general
he's
phrase?
Saying, like what is special about it? Like the days coming after Yom Kippur, right? But he's just saying like in general, what is this concept dirshu Hashem behimatzo or whatever? And then the Gemara is saying like when that actually happens. I don't know if that's what you're saying.
That's what you're saying.
Saying?
There's
I don't know, maybe.
Basically, like the Gemara is saying, like when this actual time period is, and the Parshanim are all explaining, like what it's called.
Yeah, vaguely.
Very general. I mean, they're not building off the Gemara. They're not quoting the Gemara. I'm with Yoni on this one, and Matt, right?
Yes.
That's how I read it, but we could all ruminate on it afterwards. So, I would suggest that, and you have another pasuk here in Vayikra, Tazayin, Ki Vayom Hazeh Yechaper Aleichem Et Haraschem Mikol Chatoseichem Lifnei Hashem Titaru. How do you take that lifnei Hashem titaru? There's an ambiguity here. It could be referring to the avodah that's done in the Beis HaMikdash, and that's the lifnei Hashem, the Makom HaMikdash, or it could be referring to, if you want to build off the Pesukim in Yishai and the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah and the Rambam, maybe that's referring to the Zman of Yom HaKippurim. That the Zman of Yom Kippur is defined as lifnei Hashem, not unlike Tirshu Hashem Behimatzo Kru B'Yoso Karo. The Rabbeinu Yonah in his Sefer al Tshuva in Shari Tshuva, so he says that there's a special mitzvah of doing tshuva before Yom Kippur, because lifnei Hashem titaru. Nothing to do with the avodah per se, but the yom, the day of Yom Kippur, is mechayv you to do tshuva. Lifnei Hashem titaru. So I think that what we could reconstruct from here is that just like in our notion of kedushas hamakom, right, you want to talk about different levels of kedusha, asara kedusha saying. Talk about Eretz Yisrael, you could talk about Yishalayim, you could talk about the Chatzar, you could talk about the Azara, the Kodesh, Kodesh HaKadashim. Now you have gradations of Kedusha. So you have something similar over here in our notion of Kedusha Sazman. That's the Dirshu Hashem Behimatzo, Kruhu Bioso Karo. If you want to look at the orbit of the Jewish calendar, there are times of the year that are defined as Behimatzo and Karov. And there are times that are defined as Lifnei Hashem Titaru. And perhaps one nafkamina of that is that the standards of Tumentara and the standards of Chumra and Kula will be stronger when you're in the context of Behimatzo Vyoso Karov. I mean, that's the din of Tumentara that you find in the Beis HaMikdash. It's Chul and Bitara. Or Chuma and Hektish have a din tar because you're found inside the Makom HaMikdash. And nobody would ask the question whether or not it's inconsistent to have Dinei Tumentara in the Beis HaMikdash and not have them Bigvulin. Perhaps that's what you have here also. If you want to say, during these Aseres Yemei Tshuva, it's defined, it's stipulated as being Lifnei Hashem. So that calls for a higher standard. It calls for a Chumrah in some areas of Halacha. Maybe it even calls for the din of Chul and Betara, like you find in the Beis HaMikdash. If you want to push it a little further, so you might say that that lends itself to a higher level of purity, even in terms of tefillin bayi gufnaki, that a person who's standing during Aseres Yemei Tshuva and he's wearing tefillin, that's a different kind of a guf than the guf that you have in the general context during the rest of the year. So you only have that kind of gufnaki during Aseres Yemei Tshuva, when the time is defined as lifnei Hashem. And maybe there's this old question about what's a higher kiyum, right? If you're going to engage in achila and shtia, whether you're engaged in tanis, right? The Rav in halachic man, so he has this thing, you know, Judaism is not an ascetic religion at all, you know, because we're very into Simchas Yom Tov and Oneg Shabbos, right? But you do have this issue that Yom Kippur, right, which is the Shabbos Shabboson, is the day of Einisim Es Nafsho Secha. Right, so how do you explain that? So you might say that these just refer to different times of the year. That during Aseres Yemei Tshuva, when it's stipulated as Dirsu Hashem Behimatzo, or a time of Lifnei Hashem, so then there's a de-emphasis on materialism and the physical needs of the body. I'm going to say here, Oneg Shabbos is not about Basar V'Yayin. Oneg Shabbos, during the time of year that's stipulated as being in a closer proximity to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that time of year, then the Oneg Shabbos has to play itself out in Tanis, and so on. And during those 10 days, the proper mode of behavior is a more spiritual kind of conduct, where the emphasis is on the soul, not on the material needs of the body. That's it. V'nisim es nafsho sechem. It's din of the nefesh. During this time of the year, we focus on the lifnei Hashem aspects that emphasize the soul rather than the materialism. So you might say that's also why we take the minhagim of the Kohen Gadol inside the Beis HaMikdash, because what we normally have in Kedushas HaMakom, where you have the Kohenim doing the avodah in the Beis HaMikdash and the Kohen Gadol is representing Bnei Israel, so we take that whole model and apply it to the Yom HaNoraim and the Aseres HaYamim Shebein Roshon of Yom HaKippurim. I think there's a really, you know, the appeal here is that Yom Kippur has a day on its own, Shabbos Shabboson, that's a different kind of a day, V'nisim es nafsho seichem, that's very intuitive. But the notion of Aseres Yemei Tshuva is that it's an inclusive Aseres Yom Bein Rosh Hashanah Yom HaKippurim. That you could extend that character of Yom Kippur to this entire 10 days. I think that accounts for this notion of Tara, which you usually only associate with the Beis HaMikdash, closer proximity. It accounts for why it's not a double standard, right? Because when you're inside the Beis HaMikdash or Makom Kadosh or Zman Kadosh, then you have a higher standard than you have when you're outside of it. And that would also account why we change HaMelech HaKadosh, HaKel HaKadosh. We have different tefillah because we're just dealing with a different kind of halachic reality during this time of year. This might also explain this last Rambam that I put on here. Rambam says that if you walk into Rosh Hashanah, so tzaddikim are nechtam l'chayim, rishayim are nechtam l'misa, beinoni tolun oso ad yom ha-kippurim. Imasa tshuva nechtam l'chayim, v'imlav nechtam l'misa. Problematic Rambam. A beinoni who walks into Rosh Hashanah, if he doesn't do tshuva during Aseres Yemei Tshuva, he's nechtam l'misa. Should be a bit of a problem, right? Chal is the problem.
Why is he
nechtam l'misa? He's a beinoni. Right, since when do we punish the beinonim? He didn't do any veir. The Rambam says you have to have more avonos than schuyos to have a gzar din against you. Here the guy's a beinoni. If he doesn't do tshuva, he's nechtam l'misa. This is the question of the Lecha Mishnah. Lecha Mishnah says, oh, maybe he has an avera for not doing tshuva. Right, it's a bitul asay or something. That's a bit of a problem. Why?
Rambam doesn't count tshuva as an asay.
Yeah, the Rambam doesn't seem to hold that tshuva as a mitzvah asay at all. Rambam says, if you do tshuva, you should do tshuva with vidui. Kind of like if you're going to be megarish, be megarish beget. Not that there's a mitzvah to go ahead and do it. So what you might say, just if, in light of what we were just suggesting, that the Rambam holds that Aseres Yemei Tshuva, during Aseres Yemei Tshuva, you're held to a different standard. The time that's lifnei Hashem. And the dinim that you have during the rest of the year are elevated during this time. So even though it's true that in general a beinoni is not here and not there, but Aseres Yom Shebein Rosh Hashanah Yom HaKippurim, then even a beinoni is nechtam l'misa. The whole point is they have to embrace this, these different dinim that apply when you're Bein Rosh Hashanah Yom HaKippurim. Right, so it has to do with a different set of standards that you have for Aseres Yemei Tshuva than you have for the rest of the year. maybe that's a suggestion for what the Rambam is getting at here. Although it's not, it's far from mukhrach in this Rambam.
When the Rambam says mesam, meaning you're not killed until you have rule,
that's all like, year round.
That's all year round.
Right. And you might say that during Eila Yom Mishmeno Shel Yom Kippurim, that you have a different standard because of the Dir Shah Hashem Behimatza. I just like, you know, if you walk around Bituma in general, no one cares. If you walk into the Beit HaMikdash Bituma, like that's already more of an affront to the Shvayim. Okay, so that's a suggestion for Aseres Mei Tshuva.
Are you banning Mordechai?
What?
Are you banning Mordechai that you add on extra days in Aseres
Mei Tshuva? I think the point of the Mordechai is that in principle, right, even if you have a technicality of Simchas Yom Tov or you have Oneg Shabbos that you can't get around, in principle, this time of year calls for fasting.
Well, why would you have to add on days then? The time period is listed between Rosh Hashanah.
So you have this concept of Teshlumin, that if you didn't fast on a day that you're supposed to, you can make it up at some other point.
Preempt.
So here it's preemptive because normally you don't know why. Normally it's a case where you get stuck and you couldn't fast, so you have to make it up. Here it's a case where you know in advance that you're not going to fast.
What were your preemptive?
Well, usually you don't have a case where you know in advance that you won't be able to be mashlim. Like this is a case where due to the Yom Tovim that you could be mashlim. But here, I'm saying here you could explain why you're caught between this ideal of fasting, and yet you can't because you have, you know, Shabbos and Yom Tov. But what's the ideal? What's the ideal of fasting? That's the influence of Yom Kippur, like Matthew is suggesting. That during certain times of the year, the ideal really is a spiritual kind of avodas Hashem and less physical. That's the suggestion. Okay, so until next Sunday.
Yeah.
Right?
To 7,
that's what
7
we have before Sukkot. That's
we're not having Friday this week?
Right. It's probably, I mean, people are busy this Friday, no?
Let me know.
Right.
The only mitzvah is to be eating. We could have some food here also.
And
we could do it.
No one's
going to
everyone's here.
So people
want to
do this?
Yeah. Okay, let me know. We'll discuss it. Let me know. I'm gonna be around here Friday morning.
Anyway.
I'll do something on your kipper. It might be nice.
Okay. Yeah.
We'll come cold and dry.
Yeah. I'm gonna be there.